Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Hope you're having a good day. Happy Friday. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. You too.
Happy VD.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate. That's an appropriate well wish on this day.
It is 5:04. I am Isaac. Is not Zook.
I'm not.
That is Luke Anderson filling in for Big Zook, who is down in Las Vegas. Insanely jealous of that.
Both Mountain View High School grads, so go Thunder.
Yeah, he used to haze you, right? He used to make fun of you?
He tried to. He threatened to take me down one
Zook
day.
Zook used to be a big old bully.
He still is.
And now he hates... Yeah, but now he hates bullies.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I don't have the heart to tell him. I'm like, you're kind of a bully.
So once upon a time, I was, and I've told this story with Sook in the room. The first time I hosted with him, we took an entire club hour to talk high school stories. And I did most of the talking. He just sat there uncomfortably going, yeah, that was true. But yeah, he threatened to beat me up my first day of football practice, my sophomore year. He was a senior, already committed to BYU, all American, whatever. And he was going to beat me up because he didn't like the color of my shoelaces on my football cleats.
Mm-hmm. Sounds right.
And I told him to go ahead and do it. I go ahead. Pull off my helmet and hit me with it, Miles Garrett. Bring it on. Which was great forecasting by me because that hadn't happened at the time. But I was a hero on the sophomore team just for standing.
You stood up to the bully.
I stood up to the bully. And then, and that was our big run-in at
Freaking
football practice.
Freaking Sook.
And then we were never on the field at the same time because he was very good and I was very mediocre.
By the way, you know that today being Valentine's Day is also Oregon's birthday.
I did not know that.
Yes. Happy birthday to Oregon.
Yeah, good job.
So Joey Harrington will be in studio here in about 20 to 25 minutes. Story time with Joey has begun. Coming up tonight in the club, I would like to talk about something that everyone is discussing, and that is the raging hot topic of the non-recline movement on airplanes.
Yeah. I've got a flight to Japan in April.
Ooh.
So I need to figure this whole thing out before I get on that flight.
I'm very passionate about this.
Are you?
As a tall person? Yeah.
As a tall guy?
Are you tall?
Yeah.
Yeah, as a big guy.
Zook
is too because he's, you know, you guys are about the same size. Lynch and Sook are. They're both big dudes.
Yeah.
Big bullies.
I'm almost exactly average in every measurement.
Yeah. I often say that myself. Average in literally every way.
Yeah. I could not be more average.
So, yeah, and I'm guessing what Mike and Sook think is that you should never recline your chair. Because if you do, and a big guy like Mike is sitting behind you, you really cramp what they have going on.
We'll have to talk about it later. I'm excited for Mike's
scorching
hot take. Well, don't ruin it now.
Let's save it for the conversation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So Mike may be coming with an upset.
I cannot wait
this
to
is
hear
fascinating.
Giant Mike's take.
It's just fascinating because now I've never... Well, you're right. Let's wait.
Yeah.
Club 1080 starts at 6.
It's a good tease.
Probably after 6 because Joey and we usually get carried away with Joey.
I don't think so. I mean, what does he have to say? What does he know about football and how it works?
Okay, so that's what's coming up. Write me out the Hot 5 at 5.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sook.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
Whoa. Bro.
What is happening?
It's hot. Number 5.
It really
Number
is.
Five.
By the way, somebody asked how much money I ended up raking in yesterday. You know, I solicited $1 Venmos.
Oh,
people.
I did not know that. How'd you do?
Because I'm hot.
That makes sense.
You know how the hots do on Instagram?
Yeah, that checks out.
Suk was saying, well, they go on Instagram and they just put their Venmo account on there, and then people just send them money because they're hot.
I'll take
so
that.
So I said, well, I should do that. I mean, look at me.
How'd you do?
$23.95.
Nice.
I'm trying to figure out what we should do with it. I feel like we should bet it on the Oregon Lottery scoreboard app and then just keep doubling it up until we have a billion and we can retire.
I think that's a fair.
What you do you
and
think
I,
about that?
Am I part of this now?
No.
Oh, okay. You said we.
No, me and the listeners. Okay. So anybody who gave me a dollar.
Get to retire and then I take over.
No, anybody who gave me a dollar, and some guy gave me 25 cents. We might cut him out of the deal. But.
Well, did you get to 95 cents? Somebody else gave you change in there, too.
Matt Kuchar leads at the Genesis Invitational at the famed Riviera 9-under. He shot a 69 today.
How much does his caddy make if he wins?
That's a good question. Harold Varner and Rory McIlroy are just two back at 7-under. I tell you what, Rory McIlroy looks really good for you bros who weren't able to watch golf today. But a lot of big names up there. Dustin Johnson had one of the best rounds of the day, shot 66.
Is Rory going to start winning again?
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
But like majors.
I yes.
Like,
dude,
he's so good.
He's about to go on a run.
And he's just his swing, something to behold.
I think that he's kind of beholden to what kind of course that he's on. He likes to hit it high and drop it on a dime. But
he swings out of his shorts, so it's so fun.
He's been top five every tournament he's played this year, and he's second place here. I mean,
all right. Well, just put all your money on Rory in the majors.
Hey,
That's what you do with your $23.95.
I got another dollar, $24.95.
Boom. But I just spend you a dollar.
All right, where were we?
Four. We're at number four. I'm just listening to Stone Temple Pilots.
A jury has convicted Michael Avenatti of attempting to extort Nike. Apparently, he was in like $10 million in debt when he tried to blow the whistle on Nike's involvement in, nefarious payment activities, college athletes.
Good idea to challenge a billion-dollar company, multiple billion-dollar company in
no.
a court case.
No.
Is that a...
He was desperate.
Yeah, no kidding.
A federal jury in New York convicted him, and he will be sentenced within the next... 30 days. He faces up to 20 years in prison, that dude. Hey, soccer news. Let's go to Mike.
Manchester City banned from the Champions League for 2 years. Also has to pay UEFA a 30 million euro fine. They were found guilty of breaching financial fair play by lying about how much money they made from sponsorships and then not cooperating with the investigation. So it's a big deal.
And a quick update on that story. This just came out. Now they have to play next 2 years with no shoes. So there's that.
I liked that. I thought that was
barefoot.
Funny. Mike, is a scale of 1 to 10, how big of a deal is this?
I think it depends on the outcome of their appeal, because they are appealing and we all know how corrupt all these soccer corporations are. But I'd say this is probably about a 6 or 7.
The way baseball's going, these sports corporations, not just soccer. All sports are corrupt. Come on.
Soccer famously so.
Yes.
And the NCAA.
And now baseball and, well, football. I mean, we know how they are. NBA is good, though.
What else do we have here? A-Rod. How about A-Rod?
Yeah. I like this one.
He has reportedly emerged as a potential buyer for the New York Mets.
Can we make the obvious connection that's more important? Is J-Lo getting in on that purchase?
Well, yeah. Are they married?
They're not married yet, I don't think.
I don't think they are.
Celebrity Mike?
That's not a nickname you should give me. I have no idea.
That's worth a try. But I want J-Lo to be
Do they have joint accounts, or they got their own stuff going on?
The photo that I saw of A-Rod, which congratulations to the media. Every photo of A-Rod from here until they go their separate ways should include J-Lo. But the big headline photo was J-Lo and A-Rod sitting there, but it only mentioned A-Rod. I want Jenny from the block to be part of the ownership group of the Mets. That's all I care about.
Mike brings up a good question. Do they, like, who pays for vacations and dinners and stuff?
I believe it is the resort that wants those two just to sit by the pool. Like, that's the thing, is those two probably don't pay for anything. They have standing invitations at all of the best restaurants, all of the nicest resorts.
So
like,
true.
If you owned a resort, wouldn't you? Those are the two people you want by your pool, and
so
then
true.
Everybody else will pay for everything.
And then snap it and gram it, and boom.
Right?
You're the most popular place in the
they
world.
They don't pay. That's the thing. The more money you make, the less you pay for. That's the dirty secret of the world.
And number one is that, according to the Oregonian, the Oregon Ducks are locked in a vicious cockfight with their head coach, Mario Cristobal, in trying to lock him up to a long-term extension.
As they should. I mean, I think he's earned every penny of it. I mean, just...
Well, it depends on how much they pay him, but yeah, he deserves, he's only making 2.6 right now.
He deserves double what he's making now.
Only 2.6 million.
Yes. I know, poor guy. How does his family eat?
Yeah, it's hard to know.
Well, if he makes enough money in the next contract, he won't have to pay for things. That'll help.
Yeah. So they're trying to lock him up. He's currently the 57th highest paid coach in college football. He's really quite a bargain at $2.6 million,
yeah,
at least for what he's done so far. But we'll have to wait and see. The next, you know, next year's going to be interesting because the Ducks, you know, obviously they lose a stud quarterback and they lose a lot of that offensive line. This will be, and a new offensive coordinator, this will be really interesting to see how Cristobal keeps this going. I know they have a lot of recruiting momentum, but at the same time, you know, what are expectations for next year, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, the league's wide open.
I will bring back something that you said earlier. He is right now paid in between Maryland's Mike Locksley and Boston College's Steve Adazio.
Come on.
Adazio.
Yeah.
Adazio. Yeah, that sounds better.
That's crazy.
That's what I mean. So, yes, he deserves, regardless of what happens in the next 3 years.
Even a little bump.
He deserves one.
I also don't think, we did speak about this earlier, but I also don't think that he's going anywhere. I think there's a few jobs that can maybe lure him, but I feel like he's got what he needs at Oregon. He's got it cooking. And that brand, oh my God, Oregon's brand nationally, it's still growing to the point where I just think, short of just a much larger assistant coach money pool, short of, you know, doubling your salary, you can't compete with $8, $9, $10 million a year if he ever gets that coveted. Short of that, I think he's staying at Oregon.
The way that recruits talk about their visits to Oregon, the way the coaching staff is built, Oregon has as much momentum as anyone trying to contend with the top few schools. Obviously, Clemson, Alabama, LSU have guys, you know, desperate to go to those schools because they're established, but that second tier of college football, I don't think there's anybody with more momentum than Oregon.
And somebody texted and said, when looking at Cristobal's contract, you have to look at the incentives as well. His contract is much more incentive-driven than most, and his total compensation last year was well over $4 million. Most of that was likely to be obtained. That's right, because he hit a lot of the – I mean, he won the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's making – all those guys. Yeah, it's like when you look at the base salaries, dude, they're pulling in more than that.
Sure.
Yeah. You know?
Sure, but his base salary should be higher. When you look at this list, again, he's behind Vanderbilt – Mississippi,
Cowboy,
West Virginia,
who's
North
even
Carolina,
coaching Vanderbilt?
Iowa State, Houston, Louisiana State.
Quick, name Vanderbilt's football coach.
Well, I have it on the list here, so it's.
Is it still that Derek Mason guy?
It is Derek Mason. I said Louisiana there. State. It's Ed Ogeron.
Has he had a winning season yet?
Hasn't only been there for like 2 years.
No, I think he's been there a while. Let's look that up, Bill. Yeah, no, dude, he 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 years.
No way.
Yeah.
That's crazy. He was Stanford's DC before he went there, right?
1, 2, 3.
Charlie Strong at South Florida making $5 million.
I thought he got fired.
On this list.
Vanderbilt.
And he got fired. That's the thing. If you get fired, you're still making that money. Willie Taggart is still making money from Florida State.
Vanderbilt's coach is 27 and 47. And the most he's won is 6 games. And they're like, oh, this is great. At least you're not Kansas.
Yeah.
All right. What is coming up? Oh, coming up next, hot sports takes, and then Joey Harrington in studio. The Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Coors Light. Enter to win tickets to a Blazers home game and a $250 gift card to the team store wherever you buy Coors Light. Coors Light! Made to chill. This is The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Joey Harrington will be in studio for his weekly visit, Storytime with Joey, in our next segment. And I want you to listen for something that a lot of people are saying on the fan text line. A lot of folks believe that you, Luke Anderson, sound like Joey Harrington.
See, now that I would disagree with. I think Joey Harrington sounds like me.
Right.
You're right. I mean, let's see. Who gets higher billing?
Yeah, you.
Part-time. For sure. Weekend host and sometimes fill-in host on 1080 The Fan, Luke Anderson, or Joey Harrington. Come on.
So he is, I have not caught, just thinking about it, I don't think you guys sound anything alike, but I'm going to, we're going to find this out next
time. I also think that listening through a radio
is different
than what we hear in our headphones.
Well, we are on the AM.
It's very true. I got a sports question for you. The celebrity all-star game is going on.
Sports answer. By the way, real quick.
Yeah.
Somebody just sent $4.20 and said, blaze it on my Venmo. Yeah, so we're now up to, folks, we are up to $29.15.
He wants you to use it on weed, Rob.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen. Yeah. But I also have, I don't know what to do with this. I've got two guys who are requesting money back.
I feel like you should give it back. If they gave you money.
No, they didn't give anything. They just sent a notification because, you know, on Venmo, you can just say, hey, pay me $10. You owe me.
It sounds like you're rolling in it. You're kind of rubbing it in the faces of the Portland listeners.
No. We're going to do something together. We're going to, this
and the,
money.
You and the listeners, not me.
Yes, not you. Anybody who donated to my hotness, we're going to take this money and we're going to make good use of it. But I want to grow it. Yeah. I want to make $1 billion out of it.
If you can get enough money to throw the first annual Isaac Rop celebrity pool party.
There you go.
Well, that leads to my question. So,
hold on. Oh, Dwight wants $10. I'm not going to give that guy $10.
Dwight.
And then Kelly wants $6.69.
Wait, what's Dwight going to use it for? What's the? Have him write an essay.
He says, if you want to get rid of your money, I'll put it to good use. So maybe, I feel like he's being greedy.
I think maybe you
if
take
he requested a dollar, I would have given it to him.
If you took submissions, do an essay contest.
Here comes the $1 request, as you said that.
Celebrity All-Star Game going on right now.
Yes.
If you got invited
no.
to play in a local celebrity game.
A basketball?
Which sport would you play?
Golf.
I guess that's up. Big four. Would you play in a celebrity softball game? If there's a softball game?
Yeah. Baseball.
Okay. Baseball?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or football would be fun as long as, you know.
Yeah. But basketball?
I'm all-time quarterback.
I love all-time quarterback. That's
I used to think I was, you know how, okay. So
my dad always got to be all-time quarterback. I can't wait till, I only have two kids, but nieces and nephews. If they want to play football, I'm totally in on all-time quarterback.
So
that's
the thing
a sweet
about
gig.
All-time quarterback is I always thought that I was like, all-time quarterback was a little random because nobody really knew who was a good quarterback or who wasn't. So it was just like, if you owned it, you'd be like, oh, I'm all-time quarterback. Then people wouldn't argue with you. But then what would happen is I'd get benched because I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm all-time quarterback. And then they'd be like, Rob, you kind of suck. Maybe we should try someone new. And then they just are way better than I am.
Well, but you're also a lefty, too. I don't think you want your all-time quarterback being a lefty. There's something about the spin of the ball. My dad always played all-time quarterback. I had three older brothers, a next-door neighbor that would always come over and play. And then if I brought a buddy over because I was the youngest, so I needed somebody my size. My brothers were older and bigger than me. But anytime I had a buddy over, it was 3-on-3. My dad would just step out there and play all-time quarterback. That was the only time I remember. I don't remember any contemporary being all-time quarterback. You know, none of the kids in my class.
Went for it.
It's a pretty good try.
So there's all-time quarterback, and then there's the equivalent of that in basketball is the guy who just stands at the three-point line and just claps his hands like, give me the ball. I'm going to knock this down, even though, you know, I make 25% of them.
Yeah, but there's also like the old guy that knocks down everything.
Yeah.
That can barely run up and down the court, can't play any defense, but he's in there for one reason. And you always keep an eye on him. As soon as you slack off, you get him 3 feet, and he has a terrible-looking set shot. He's bald. He shaves his neck down to 3 inches above where the jersey shows, so you can see all his back hair, but he has no hair anywhere else, and he just sits there and just drains him with the ugliest shot you've ever seen. That's a guy I hate.
So if I were invited to a celebrity game...
Yeah, would you
by the way, the money's rolling in over here.
As it should be.
Somebody donated $15 to me.
Did you put a photo requesting it?
No, I just, all I said was the Instagram models.
Yeah.
All they do is they put their Venmo account on their IG.
Yeah.
And people send them money. I'm like, well, hell, look at my hotness. I'm going to do that.
But you didn't even put everybody, an extra hot photo or anything.
No, I said, everybody send me $1. And they just,
This is just Twitter.
The money is flowing in.
Are you going to leave halfway through the show?
It's possible.
Because you made enough money? It's Mike, awesome. You ready to do the club alone?
alone?
Well,
because you're leaving too.
Just you. No, I'm not. Listen, this guy's not making any money on Venmo. First of all, I have 7 Twitter followers, and second, I have not sent out my
7's too many.
Venmo.
Well, no, I unfollowed you
again.
It's only 6.
Again, 3 brothers, a sister. That's 4. my mom signed up for Twitter, followed me, and then has never gone back on.
I haven't tweeted since the Rose Bowl.
The
boss is mad at me about it, but I don't care.
I can't figure out the appeal of Twitter. And
really?
Just
a news feed. The appeal is a news feed.
But what happens is outlets, The Score, USA Today does a really good job of this. They release stories almost immediately if something breaks and then cite Twitter. I'm going to get the highlights of Twitter in those articles almost as fast as I would if I followed it.
I like
Twitter.
It. It's consolidated news feed.
That's fair.
But what's trending, what people are talking about, I think it's interesting. But I just never, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to say.
Yeah. Well,
I speak for 4 hours a day.
What the heck? What I was going to say. You have a platform to speak your mind.
So anyway, quick hypothetical, because Joey's coming in here next. Unlimited beer for the rest of your life, or you get to play Augusta National once?
Augusta National.
Me too.
Yeah, I can buy beer.
My buddy and I were talking about that. I'm like, that's not even close.
No, it's not. It's
because I don't drink a lot of beer anyway.
And
it's the complete opposite for me because I don't care about golf and I like beer.
Well, sure, but as an what if you could trade it? Beer?
What if you could trade it? So you don't care about the Augusta part, but you can hook me up with Augusta and then I pay for your beer for the rest. Wait,
yeah, well, that doesn't work.
That's the exact same thing.
let's go talk.
That's just friends with benefits, right there.
Augusta, and I'll shoot a 140.
Who cares?
I know, that's what I'm saying. I will go and play terribly at Augusta versus Sevier.
All right, we got to go. Joey Harrington in studio coming up next. Story time with Joey, complete with a new open when we get back. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Friday's 5:30. You know what that means, Luke?
Yeah.
Joey Harrington in studio. And how about that open, Joey? What do you think of the...
Well, first of all, I gotta give a little something to Lynch over there for capturing the one moment I actually was singing on microphone. I don't know what happened at that. One, I never sing in public because I'm not good. But two, I should get an Emmy.
I think you should get an Emmy.
Or a Grammy. A Grammy.
Grammy is more appropriate.
Well, but maybe I should get an Emmy too. You know, why not? While I'm at it.
Or Tony. You could get a Tony. Oh, I mean, really, if you perform the whole thing, you're winning a Tony.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think that you're bad. I think it's good.
Thank you.
Which is why we put it in the open.
That's very kind of you. What was the background? Wasn't there something that came after it? I wasn't paying that much attention. Wasn't there other music?
Yeah, just music.
It was like Donkey Kong or something like that.
I don't know what that music was, but...
Mario Kart.
Boom.
Mario Kart.
Mario Kart.
Mm-hmm. Nailed it. I think. I don't know.
So, Joseph, it's officially story time season.
Yes!
So I feel like we should start, because last week we talked a little bit about Justin Herbert and what he's going through. You see some similarities between what he's going through now, leaving Oregon, and just his upbringing,
right.
Local kid, and now heading off to the NFL. So now what? So now it's, what are we in? We're like pre-combine prep.
Now everything is getting ready for combine. Like that is everything he is focused on. Like when we were working out in the off season during, when we were in college, you were working out in preparation to do football things. All of his workouts now are tailored to explosive. Like he will work on just the starts of his 40-yard dash 100 times, or he'll work on just the cut coming out of the three cone drill just so that he can be a tenth of a second faster than he would have been otherwise. Like all the workouts now are purely tailored to impressing the 70-year-old man sitting there with stopwatches.
Right.
And does he have an individual coach for each one of those disciplines? Because you always hear about like the guys that are working with the quarterbacks that are working for the combine.
What usually happens is you've got a weight coach, you have a speed and conditioning coach, and then you the quarterbacks would have a quarterback coach specifically. But it's a really odd time because you're sitting there, you're running 40-yard dashes, you're just working on your starts all
the
day.
4-yard dash.
Yeah, just like a full, not 40, it's a 4-yard dash.
What was your 40 time?
At the combine, I actually ran a 4.85.
Oh,
which
wow.
was as fast as I had ever been. Yeah, I was blazing speed, actually. Yeah.
Well, that's not slow.
Did the cameras even catch it?
No, they didn't. I was moving so fast, they didn't see it.
Did you know that Patrick Mahomes and Peyton Manning both ran a 4.8?
Did you know that? For this exact reason. Like, I believe it, because Patrick isn't fast.
Maybe have we already talked about this with you? Did I already drop that stat bomb on you once? I think I might have.
Patrick isn't fast. No, he's not fast. He's elusive.
And
he's,
Peyton Manning feels really slow.
But he's got long legs, and he was probably trained on how to drag his hand drag your thumb off the start pad and take your steps and explode and do all that stuff.
Was that the last 40 you ever ran?
Yeah.
Is that pretty fantastic? Is that a good feeling?
Well, I ran 40 yards chasing after a guy after I threw a touchdown pass. I remember running 40 yards at Lambeau after Oz Hakeem caught a touchdown touchdown and ran 40 yards to, you know, celebrate with him in the end zone.
But nobody timed that one.
No.
you weren't in underwear and nobody was timing
you. No, speaking of underwear, that combine, like, people don't understand how odd and awkward and horrible that experience is. Like, you see this on TV now. They broadcast everything. I'm not kidding you that we would go and stand. They divide you into groups, and, you know, group A, group B, group C. And one of the things, you know, you rotate through all these places, you would have to go onto a stage. And there is a room, let's call it, where 100, 150, 200 old men are sitting there with pads, you know, pencil and paper. And you get up and you are literally in nothing but compression shorts. You're just standing there in your underwear on stage in front of these people, and you can look at you, like, you look at them, they'll look at you, and then they'll write down, and then they'll, like, look, and then they'll, like, look at your legs and, like, and then write something else down. And, like, you're standing there, like, wanting to hold your hands over your stomach, like, man, what are they, like, they're judging me. And then, like, you put you against the wall and they shout out 6-0-4-0. Everybody writes their things down. Then you walk over to the scale, 2-1-7. And then everybody, like, makes notes on your body as, like, you're walking. It's the creepiest. Like, I've never had an experience like that before.
You're just a piece of meat.
You are. You are cattle going through.
Right.
Did you do any tanning or anything before? Is that a wise move?
Than usual. You know, it's, yeah, perfect, I kept a tanning bed in my dorm room, so that was kind of.
And where do you put your hands? What's in that scenario? Where do you put your hands? Do you just...
Well, that's the photo. That's the Tom Brady photo.
Sure.
Right? That's the one that everybody's, you know, oh, look at Tom Brady's combine photo. Well, you just stand there with your arms at your side, and then people make fun of you for the rest of eternity.
And do they instruct you, like, when and where to walk, like Miss USA or Miss Universe? Like, do you have a mark that you have to hit and now turn a quarter turn to the right?
I don't quite remember that, but... you know, I don't quite remember a whole lot because all they pretty much gave you to eat was like a bag of Lay's potato chips and like one of those, you know, Saran wrap turkey cheese sandwiches. Nice. And then they're like, okay, now go perform your best with receivers you've never thrown
nothing
to before.
Nothing but best from the NFL. Oh, yeah.
They're trying to figure out who's going to make $1 million from this. And they're like, right. Here's your Saran wrap turkey sandwich that costs a nickel.
So were you always thinking you were going to be a top five guy?
No, I was thinking I was going somewhere between 3 and 16.
Okay.
And then potentially, like, if it didn't happen there, then I would go down to like 26 or something like that. All depending on who needed quarterbacks.
Did you have a team that you were hoping called?
Kansas City.
Yeah.
Not the Lions?
You know what? Ironically,
why not?
There were 5 teams that needed quarterbacks. Buffalo, Cincinnati, I did not want to go to. Washington and Kansas City, I wanted to go to. And then Detroit was just kind of in the middle. Like, okay. It was just kind of ambivalent. They hadn't had their run of a decade of, you know, never winning a game. I mean, we're just two years removed from Barry Sanders. So yeah. Well, it wasn't a horrible, horrible place.
Well, this is insanely relevant. Joe Burrow talking about maybe not wanting to go to Cincinnati. What were your reasons for not wanting to be there? Just because it's Cincinnati?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. No, they had their decade of, you know, of miserableness.
Well, now they're on, what, 3 decades?
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez.
Joe Harrington in studio every Friday, 5:30. Okay, so it feels to me like pre-combine time or even combine up to the draft is like this no man's land because you've graduated, right?
Right.
And so you don't have classes or maybe you are taking...
Yes, you're often removed from wherever you're going. So like you pick up and go... You know, I was in Orlando training.
Guys go to LA or whatever.
Yes, Newport. But then there is that time post-draft where you do have to go back to campus. And it's this really... I don't want to say it's like wild, wild west, but... That is the time when, if it hasn't happened already, Justin Herbert will walk back into Eugene and one of the car dealerships will say, here's a free car. Go drive it around and then work out in the morning and then just go do whatever you want for the rest of the day in our free car.
Wait, so why do you got to go back to campus after the draft?
Because they won't. There's this stupid rule that once you leave for mini camps, you can't report to your team until your school has graduated. So the Oregon schools and like Stanford, they're on the quarter system. So there was this time where I was back in Eugene and, you know, they'd give me the free Lexus to just drive all around campus and I'd work out in the mornings. And then I was actually sitting at the bar one night, and just, you know, chatting up some of my friends and, you know, guys, who worked there, who I'd gotten to know through the years. And I was like, yeah, I'm not really sure what I'm going to do for the next, you know, 3 weeks. And he says, well, why don't you work here?
Where were you?
I was at Rennie's.
See, just bartended.
Wait. I was like,
bar back.
Okay. So I went to work at Rennie's.
Oh my God.
And I was like, well, don't I have to like do some sort of like OLCC clearance? They say, yeah, but if you, once you apply, you can get cleared to serve drinks while your application is going through. But then once you'll be denied at a certain point, and then once you're denied, you're going to be gone in the NFL anyway. So yeah. For 2-3 weeks, I worked at Rennie's a couple nights a week. My very first night, he was like, all right, come in on a Monday. It'll be nice and smooth. And we'll, you know, teach you how to, we'll train you. The law school got out. I had finals. And so like 150 students from the law school walked in. They're like, all right, time to learn on the fly. I was like, what? where's my button for this? Where is it? How do I pour this? Where's the tap for the Budweiser? He's like, just point it over there. And so, yeah, I was a bartender after for a short stint in between my collegiate career and the start of my NFL career. I was a bartender at Rennie's.
That's there fantastic.
You but you didn't know that.
Did anybody get upset with you for a bad drink? Like, I mean, I feel like you're recognizable enough.
It's Joey Harrington.
That's what I'm saying.
They were like,
this is what I'm saying. There had to be somebody like, oh my God.
Yeah, well then I punched him, and then that's why actually I came back and have this cast now, because that's where I got where I tore my ligament originally was from the bar fight when they said you didn't pour this right.
So did you like bartending? I bartended for years and I loved it. I think it's a great, it's a really fun job.
I've always said everybody should do it because bartended for years as well. It's a way to like understand what the restaurant industry is like. We all go to restaurants.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
and it's one giant human experiment, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I completely agree. You see what you hopefully don't look like after you've had a few too many. It's like, oh, huh.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I shouldn't do this. And maybe I shouldn't say, okay, got it. So noted.
Yeah. Okay, so you're driving around a free car, you're bartending. And you're just doing nothing. You're just the big man on campus.
Yes, but here's when like the opportunities start to roll in. So I ended up doing the the NCAA football, which was kind of like the EA Sports. It was the college version of Madden before they discontinued it because of all the college athletes not getting paid thing.
Right.
But so I was put on the cover of the NCAA game after I graduated. So they, they pay you to, now they can finally pay you and use your picture.
What kind of dough do you get for that?
I got like 30 grand.
Nice. Just to be on the cover?
Yes.
Did you have to do any of the, since we're talking about getting in your underwear, do the suit where you have all the sensors on it?
No.
But that would be fun, though.
But we did have to do like a promotional tour thing, which, again, you just kind of fly by the seat of your pants and go where they tell you. So they said you need to go to Jamaica. And so you have two tickets. So I was like, well, I don't know. Who am I gonna? So I took my mom, and I went to Jamaica with my mom, and there was like this big Madden NCAA launch, and I ended up playing in a Madden tournament against Ray Lewis and Lance Bass from NSYNC.
And that seems who won?
That seems like a good pair.
It was.
Lance Bass hit on you?
Not that I knew of. I don't think he'd come out
yet.
Did he
hit on Ray Lewis?
He probably hit on Ray Lewis.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't know.
That
is a good
something.
Dude. But it's like one of those things like you mentioned, then things start to happen. I was like, oh yeah, I played Madden with Ray Lewis and Lance Bass.
Well, you can see how guys get in trouble. I mean, so you're single, it sounds like, since you took your mom to Jamaica.
Right.
So single guy, 22?
23. Yeah.
What a great time.
23 years old. Here's a brand new car. You get a bartending job without having to go through any of the certification. Everybody knows who you are.
Here's 30 grand
and a trip to Jamaica to go hang with NSYNC and Ray Lewis. How do guys not get in more trouble?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, and to be perfectly honest, like, I won't say I was conservative, but I wasn't taking the big loans from my agent. I wasn't,
I want to ask you about that.
I took enough to just get by, but there are guys that go crazy.
Yeah, so crazy. Much question. Okay, let's pause. So much questions on that topic right there, because that's right where I was going next. Joey Harrington in studio, story time with Joey, every Friday, 5:30. We'll be back with more on 1080 The Fan.
Joey on 1080 The Fan.
All right, back in here with Joey Harrington. All right, so it's past combine, after the draft.
Okay.
But they've got this weird rule where you haven't graduated yet, so you went back to Eugene. But you're a rich guy because you're going to be the Lions savior.
Well, plus he's bartending, so he's making all that
tip
money. Bartending. Straight cash.
Like you're
Randy Moss said, straight cash homie.
Straight cash homie. Yeah. You're in no man's land, but you're starting to get offers, so you get 30 G's just to be on the cover of a video game.
Right.
You go play golf with, or I mean, you go play video games with Lance Bass and Ray Lewis.
In Jamaica. Just making sure we have all the facts here.
Are you at this point cashing checks? Like, I mean, are you rich guy
No. Hadn't seen, I mean, so what happens is after your final game, so after, you know, we got on this because of Justin Herbert, right? So Justin Herbert finishes in the Rose Bowl. The next day, the next week, whatever, he signs with an agent.
Yeah.
And at that point, he and the agent will sit down and decide how much, you know, how much of a loan that he's going to take out, right? And most of the guys that go with the right agents take out a loan of, you know, $50,000, okay. You know, something like, you know, $100,000, which would be like a salary for, you know, like a... Just like I want to say, normal yearly salary for someone, like $50,000 to $100,000.
They take to get through a few weeks.
Well, no, that is thought that, you know, that is going to be what you're going to take through potentially through the next nine months or so, okay. Because you're not going to see your NFL money until you start the NFL. Exactly.
Game check. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Right.
You didn't get like signing bonus or anything?
You do, but you don't get it until until you sign your contract. And I didn't sign my contract until I was walking out onto the practice field for training camp that following August.
Okay.
Right? So there's a stretch of 7-8 months in there. Now some guys will take out, you know, $1 million from their agent and or whoever it is that decides to cash in on the stupidity of a 23-year-old. Right. And but no, I mean most guys who are worth their salt world will give a decent loan to get through, and then you just get free cars and free trips from people.
So what, you have the free free trip. What are you spending the money on? Just like that's what I was saying. Is it feels like it feels very easy to get in trouble. And you said that you were pretty conservative, so you didn't take out any.
I mean, I took a normal sized loan just to you know
live.
Sure. Live right. You got to buy. You know, okay. I get drafted to Detroit. I got to find a place to live there. Like, okay, we got to put a down payment. We have to. Am I going to rent? You know, we're going to. You know, how is that all going to work? Life, life that happens.
Yeah.
But it is odd knowing that very shortly. Someone's going to hand you a check with two commas in it. Right. And
so exciting.
How big was your first game check?
Great question.
Game check. Game checks were not in my first year. Well, I mean, let's do some quick math. So I was on.
He's going to his iPhone.
Going to the iPhone. Okay. Ready? So of course.
It's always funny when somebody's holding an iPhone and goes, does anybody have a calculator? Savvy.
So minimum salary there. My rookie year was $225,000. So divided by 17 weeks is you made $13,000 $13,000 gross per week. So then, you know, net off of that, off of taxes.
You weren't making minimum.
On the game checks I was. So I got bonus first year. So I got signing bonus and then minimum salary.
Oh, that's how it works?
That's how my contract was set up.
Huh. What was your signing bonus?
And then my
$18 million.
No,
what was your signing bonus?
What was yours? That was your answering.
Isaac was $18 million.
No, it was enough. It was enough to, put a down payment.
So these loans from like the agents, is that just carte blanche? Like, hey, whatever you want, they'll give it to you because they know you're
going to. Some will. And that's where you see these stories of guys who get, you know, quote unquote, taken by their financial advisor or taken by their agent because they look at it as an opportunity. And they look at the guys as a paycheck as opposed to a relationship and a longstanding relationship. I mean, that's the difference is guys. Some guys are truly out there looking to cash in. It happened with a lot of the guys out of Miami. From that stretch, the Clinton Portises, the Jeremy Shockeys, there were a lot of guys from that class that really got taken by some pretty shady guys. But part of it's on you, you know, it's.
Well, those guys were bringing in good money too.
Well, and then there's the guys that have their uncle as their agent too, and they get fleeced by their own family or something. It's
here's the thing. And I think I told you this. It's, I was really, really lucky to have come from a middle-class upbringing, and I had two parents who cared about me, who were who had taught me the value of money, had taught me how to save, you know, were had my best interests at heart. There are a lot of guys that don't come from those situations that play in the NFL. And I will never forget, I think I may have told you this, and forgive me if I told you again, you know, I think I told this recently, a wide receiver on the team in Detroit, mm-hmm. who were doing the 401k stuff, and the Players Association, the union, was coming through and like screaming at people who weren't putting money into their 401k. And it was a 2-to-1 match. You put in $10,000, the team would put in $20,000 for money.
Yeah.
And there was one guy on the team who wouldn't do it. And guys are screaming at him. Robert Porche, like the foundation of Detroit, is screaming at him like you gotta, I almost said his name, you gotta do this. It's free money. He said, I'm not gonna do it. And they said, why? Tell me why. He said, because I came from nothing, and I know at some point again in my life, I'm gonna have nothing. And so while I got this chance, this is my money, and nobody's gonna take it from me.
Did he blow it?
Oh, yeah. two years after he was done, broke. He was, you know, just, he was writing letters to receiver coaches trying to get back in, saying, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. And that's the opportunity that people don't realize, that window is so small. And that's why you see a lot of the guys who, as soon as they're done with college and they see what may be out there, they try and cash in.
Yeah.
And if you don't have somebody advising you to take the right long-term approach, you could end up in trouble.
Well, yeah, so because you don't know how long your career is going to be.
Right.
You only get paid for the season.
Yeah.
So extrapolate that over a year. So if you say, let's say if you get, I'm just picking a random number, $20 million, what percentage of that after agents, after travel, after living, because you probably have multiple places, you have to...
Well, what
percentage do you actually take home of all this money that we see these guys getting?
Okay, but see, here's the thing. You say $20 million, right? Mm-hmm. $20 million is only going to one or two guys on that team,
mm-hmm.
right? The majority of that roster and the majority of guys coming out of college that are drafted are going to be making 4.25.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Which is fantastic money. Like you walk down the street and say, hey, you want to make $425,000 a year? You'd take it, right? So you take that $425 and you take out half for taxes,
mm-hmm.
okay? And now you buy your mom a house, you buy yourself a car, you know, and now you're down to $100,000, $150,000, whatever that number is, which is plenty of money to live. But those guys see the Tom Brady's, the Robert Porches, the whoever it is in the locker room that are making $20 million a year and can afford to live that way.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to live that way as well.
Right.
So they spend as if they are making that.
Right.
The best story I can think of, after a couple years in Detroit, we had a rookie offensive lineman came in, and there was a bonus structure. So if you were a minimum salary player and played every snap of the season, you would get a massive bonus. You know, you got $150,000 bonus, you know, and it was tiered based on what your salary was and what percentage of snaps you took during the year. We had a guy got a check at the end of the year for $150,000. And he says, oh my God, I can't believe this. We're like, hey man, congrats, you earned it. He says, I'm gonna go out and buy a Bentley. And we all stop, we're like, whoa, hold on. Like, you don't have a, why? Like, what are you doing? He says, I've always wanted a Bentley. It's like, yeah, so sure. Like, so that doesn't mean you take this check and go buy one. You don't even have a house. You live at the apartment complex down the street. And he looked at us and goes, yep, but I'm going to be the only dude in the apartment complex with a Bentley.
Wow. So do you feel good about how you handled your...
I do.
Paychecks?
I do. I mean, there are some things that, you know, I look back and say, God, that was stupid. I shouldn't have done that. But, I am able to live a comfortable life where I can choose the type of work that I do, the type of work that is enjoyable, that is, I say, valuable, and still leaves me enough time to spend with my kids. And that's all I was looking for.
That's all you need.
Exactly. Yeah. That long-term stability to be able to spend quality time with my kids and still feel like I'm doing something of value in the community.
Fantastic.
Bringing up something that was embarrassing, what was your favorite splurge that you made with the money that you have? Like, was there something you're like, did you always want a Bentley, or what was something that you always wanted that you got to go, football bought this dream for me?
Man.
That wheelbarrow you were shoving down the
yeah, I was going to say we built a home in Central Oregon.
Yeah.
Which is a family house that that's we awesome. Will have for generations. I mean, it's a place where the entire family can go. That was a pretty big splurge.
Awesome.
But I don't regret that at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect you to.
I mean, I do regret, you know, paying $10,000 for that plasma TV, as you know, when it first came out, and now you can buy them for like $326. It's like, damn. Dang it.
I worked at a hotel in Los Angeles, and a NBA player that didn't have a great career asked if I would hold a $40,000 bracelet for his jeweler to come pick up later. I was like, no. And why did you buy a $40,000 bracelet? He was a good college player, but he wasn't in the league very long. I was like, yikes. Mm.
Joseph?
How was story time adequate today?
I love story time.
It's my favorite story time.
We got Ray Lewis and Lance Bass.
Yes.
And
money.
And money.
Yeah.
And
a lot of people wonder about the money.
Bartending.
Yeah.
Bartending.
Yeah. Where should we go next week?
I don't know. We can't jump too far ahead because the draft hasn't even happened yet.
Well, yeah, I'd like to ask you about Burrow and Tua and Herbert. And
cool. We can do that.
But yeah, I'm fascinated by the Detroit years.
Oh boy.
So maybe we'll start there.
Okay, fair.
We'll see. Joey Harrington is in studio with us every Friday, courtesy of BMW of Portland. Luke Anderson in for Souk. We're back with the club next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.